the first couple of Facebook, and the billions to end disease. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and spouse Priscilla Chan, a pediatrician, have taken to Facebook to pledge $3 billion to wipe out all diseases. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more details.
And this is all part of the Zuckerberg-Chan initiative they announced when their daughter was born last year. They said they're giving away 99% of their stock in Facebook to social causes. But the way they're doing that is unusual. It's structured not as a nonprofit foundation, but as a private LLC that can actually support for-profit ventures. Anyhow, step one with this $3 billion investment is putting $600 million into a research center called the BioHub, which will work on mapping human cell types and developing tests and vaccines.
But Lewis, help me understand the bold promise from the Zuckerbergs. What was the phrase used here?
Their stated goal with this is to cure, prevent, or manage all disease within their children's lifetimes.
Ah, so it's or manage. I get it.
Or manage. So for some context on the numbers, the National Institute of Health, where much of the research on curing, preventing, and managing disease in the U.S. goes on today, has a yearly budget of more than $30 billion. $3 billion over 10 years is a lot of money for an individual couple, but it is not a lot when it comes to the cost of medical research. It seems like this vision depends in part on some real innovation happening in the labs that they create.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. Supposedly, but not really, video killed the radio stars. Then the internet killed the music industry as people downloaded and copied music willy-nilly. Well, surprise, sales in the music industry are now up due to another permutation of technology, streaming through companies like Spotify or Pandora. Marketplace's Adam Allington now on what this means for the record labels and, yes, the musicians.
After years of shrinking profits, revenues up 8.1%, according to the Recording Industry Association of America. That's good news for record companies. However, the streaming companies are still over a barrel, says Andrew Sparkler of Downtown Music Publishing.
They're saying we're paying 70 cents of every dollar for royalties, and that doesn't take into account any other aspect of our business. That's untenable.
According to Spotify's annual report, revenue in 2015 was up 80%, but it still couldn't turn a profit. Dean Wareham is with the band Luna. He says making money off streaming depends on who owns the recording.
On Luna Records that we own, we see some income. On the records that we made for the Warner Music Group, we barely see anything.
It's true, he says, that royalties for musicians have tanked since the time when people bought more physical product. These days, he makes more from t-shirts than streaming.
And from playing live, you know, I earn more in one or two nights playing at a club in New York than I do from Spotify all year long.
On the flip side, he says, in 2016, you don't need a record label to get your music out. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
It's been 40 years since Vanguard created what turned out to be a very successful mutual fund. It was low cost and almost mechanical in how it was managed. Washington Post columnist and Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is here to mark the anniversary. Alan, good to see you.
Good morning, David.
First of all, remind us, what did Vanguard offer 40 years ago so that it attracted so much business over the years?
It offered what's called an index fund, which means that the fund tries to replicate the index rather than outperform it, and it's much cheaper than trying to hire expensive people to beat the index.
Right, to actively manage the fund that just mirrors essentially the index itself, the 500 stocks that are in, say, the S&P 500. But that was an innovation at the time.
It was, and a lot of people, including at the time me, laughed at it and thought it was ridiculous and it would never take. And it's sort of taken over the world, hasn't it?
Yeah, because you always thought that the smarty pants who run the actively managed funds would always beat some sort of machine that replicates an index.
Exactly so. And now if you check, the Vanguard S&P 500 fund is the second biggest mutual fund in the country. And the total stock market fund is the biggest.
And the fees are low because they're not paying for all this expertise to actually pick the stocks.
Right. If you have at least 10 grand in one of these funds, it costs you 0.05%, which means for $10,000, it's $5.
But how does Vanguard make money on that over the years?
Well, it does it on volume, and because it isn't owned by shareholders who are hungry for dividends, it kept plowing its surpluses or profits or whatever they were into lowering fees instead of increasing payments to the owners. And when I sat down a while ago to try to figure out what to say about that, I was struck by exactly this, that this is the most non-Wall Street thing you can think of. And these funds, if you just look at the size, are the most successful things in Wall Street.
But it's not going to beat the market. It's going to be the market.
It's going to be the market or slightly lower than the market because there are some fees and costs. But on average, it will beat the average active fund. It won't beat a fund that's low cost, run by someone who really knows what he or she is doing, and for years and years has beaten the index. But if you're picking blind, the index fund will get you an above average investor return.
And what do we know about all of this? Fees do matter.
Indeed. The lower fee, the more for me.
Alan Sloan is also editor at large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
He made that up, that line on the spot. There's news to date that the huge Danish shipping company Maersk is cutting itself in two. Part one, most of what it now does. Part two, its energy business, that is to say the oil shipping business. We've been reporting this year on the huge surplus in unfilled cargo ships, depressing cargo prices. Some of that is lower global demand for oil these days, but some of it is that the shippers built up too much capacity at a time that world trade growth seems to be petering out. You can take a look at our series from this summer about peak trade at marketplace.org. The mentioned on the air tab top left of the screen will get you there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.